and welcome once again to Radio Out There. This week we're going to venture into the mountains north of Mount Shasta in California to catch up with Jack Alice. Now, Jack is an author and spiritual teacher in the tradition of the indigenous people of planet Earth, including virtually all the Native American traditions. He practices what he preaches too, because back in December 2012, he took a complete break from his writing and public appearances and moved up to the remote mountains, as I said, north of the sacred Mount Shasta. And he lives off the grid there, spring water, solar power, learning to live sustainably and in harmony with nature. But Jack has a lot of time to philosophize, to really connect with spirit and have a lot of very important and interesting things to say. And we're going to share some of that with him once again. We can talk to Jack for a while. So welcome to Radio Out There and our guest this week, Jack Alice. Jack, hi. It's great to catch up. We haven't talked for a while, have we?
I think it's been maybe 3 years, something like that.
Good grief, time goes fast when you're busy, doesn't it? So, so Jack, for all those people who've joined...
I know we talked when my last book first came out, we talked.
That's right.
I'm remembering, and that was about 3 years ago.
Fair enough.
So,
Jack, for those people who've joined the program in the last couple of years and maybe don't know who you are, just a quick thumbnail sketch, because you've really taken everything in your spiritual life and decided to opt out of civilization, as it were. Tell us about that.
Well, yes, I have. I'm an author, a spiritual teacher. I've written 4 books and three DVDs. And that's part of my message, Barry. Part of my message is I really do believe, and there's a lot of different pieces to this, but I do believe that it's very important for people to wake up to the truth about how our world really works.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that in a second if you like. But when people do wake up to that truth, they wake up to something that is very ugly and not so pretty to look at in terms of, you know, lies and deceit and murder and all kinds of other things. And it's my hope that when people learn that, when people learn how the world really works, and when they learn about the old paradigm, you know, civilized world and the old paradigm system, that when they learn the truth about it, it's my hope that they wouldn't want to be a part of that world anymore.
Yeah.
They would want to make every effort to get out of it and to not get trapped in that world. We'll talk in a minute about what it means to get trapped in that world and to be a slave to that world and to lose your freedom and to have your spirit robbed by that world. We can talk about all that in a second. But I think once people become aware of that, it's my hope that they wouldn't want to be a part of that world anymore. And my books and my DVDs and my message is all about teaching people how to do that, you know, how to exit, you know, the old paradigm civilized world and create your own world. Because, you know, the world that is created for us is one that the world that the old paradigm creates for us is one of dependence. It's one where we are dependent upon that system, and the system basically, you know, manipulates and controls us to think the way the system wants us to think, as opposed to the way that we were, you know, born to think, you know, in the universe. And that's, hopefully people wouldn't want to be part of that anymore. They would want to create their own world rather than depend upon one that's been created for them. And that's when life really gets exciting, is when we, you know, we step outside of the old paradigm civilized world and begin to create a world that is really our own. And part of that, I think, part of that process is learning how important it is. And this is another aspect of my message, and that has to do with the spiritual aspect of things. That has to do with learning. It has to do with getting out of that world, creating your own world, and learning how important it is for us to emphasize, you know, the spiritual aspect of things, you know, as we move through life.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping also that along the way there, people will also learn the importance of living close to nature, the importance of returning to nature. And this is all part of the spiritual message. Because as you know, the indigenous people of this planet, who I model my own spirituality after, you know, particularly the Native Americans, they derived their spirituality from their relationship with the natural world. And hopefully that's something that people will also discover, you know, when they begin to create their own world, they will also discover the importance of getting out of the city, getting back to nature, and connecting with it and living on that basis, you know, living in harmony with nature and living sustainably in harmony with nature. And that's basically what I've been devoting myself to for the last, since winter solstice 2012, I have basically devoted myself to creating my own world and living, you know, I live in a very remote location. I'm in the mountains of north central California. I'm very, very far from civilization. Like I say, it takes me an hour to get to where my, you know, my phone signal will work properly. And my goal up there is to learn to live sustainably, to learn to live in harmony in nature, so that when the world outside finally goes belly up, which I firmly believe that it is, living the way that I am, you know, I'll have a fighting chance of living, and hopefully there'll be people up there with me, and you know, we can continue on in a community and form the foundation. For a new world to come. So that's kind of a wordy, answer to your question. But exiting from the old paradigm world, from the civilized world, and getting back to nature is really central to the message that I have for people.
Yeah, fair enough. And you're living what you're talking about. You're making it happen in your life. But of course, the problem is that everybody who's listening to this now is going to have a different reaction, because some will say, yeah, oh, look, I'd love to be able to get away from all this madness of a city life and do that. But really, how am I going to do that? I can't afford. I've got mortgages and jobs and kids and family and commitments and this and that. So, yeah, it's all a bit of a dream. Other people might say, yep, I'm ready to do that. I'm going to do it. But it's not easy to be able to just leave, as you say, the old paradigm behind and take up a new one overnight. This sort of thing's not going to happen immediately, even though we're in big change at the moment.
Well, my message certainly does not resonate with everybody. And that's one of the kind of the painful lessons I've learned over the years. I'm just reaching out, and I would hope that my message would start to resonate with masses of people, because if it did start resonating with masses of people, I firmly believe that we have the power to create the new world. But like you say, it's hard, and people get stuck. People get stuck in that old paradigm illusion. And, you know, they've given their minds away, basically. And it's not easy. It's not easy to leave the world that you've been born and raised in and which has, you know, formed your mind and formed your thoughts and formed your spirit. It's not an easy thing to do. But one thing that I write and talk about in my work is steps everybody can take to begin the process. You know, if people like the sound of what I'm saying, if they say, you know, gee, I'd really like to get out of the city, but I'm stuck here. I'm stuck with my job, and I'm stuck with all this other stuff. What I write and talk about is steps everybody can take to begin the process. And the first thing that people need to do is they need to free their minds. And you don't even need to go anywhere to free your mind. I mean, you can just stay right where you are. You can stay in the city, and you can be up on the 100th floor of a skyscraper someplace, and you still have the ability to free your mind and to free your spirit, you know, from all the baloney that we're educated with, you know, in the mainstream system. So it starts with freeing the mind. It starts with freeing the spirit. And then there are other little steps that everybody can take, you know, to begin the process of getting out of the system. And that's one of the things that I teach. And there's so many little things people can do, like raising your children at home, you know, get them out of the public school system. The public school system sucks, basically. Get your kids out of the public school system. Start raising them at home. Start exploring eating natural food as opposed to the toxic stuff that we get in the supermarkets. And start going to natural healers and just start living a different kind of life. And even if you're stuck in that 8-to-5 job, 40 hours a week, you can still begin to take steps. And I believe that once people start to free themselves from that old paradigm system, that it's going to begin to have a real, you know, temptation for them. They're going to like it. They're going to say, well, I want more of this.
Yeah.
And, it may take some time. You know, it may take some time. The only problem at this point, Barry, is I'm not sure how much time we have, because The world out there is very unstable, as you know, right now, and certainly with this COVID-19 issue that we've been going through for a while now. It looked for a while there like things might go belly up. So I'm not sure how much time we have, and I think part of my message these days is that there is some urgency here. You know, when I started this whole process back in 2001, there wasn't as much urgency. You know, I could kind of take my time and get a feel for things and just kind of go with the flow of it. But there is some urgency now, and I'm not sure how much more time we have. So I'd also like people to, you know, to hear that aspect of this message.
Yeah, well, of course, if we start living in the future like that, we'll only get too anxious. I've got a wonderful download from the ancient Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu that I live by. If you're depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. But if you're at peace, you're living in the present. And I think this is the problem. People are either depressed because the past is stuffed up for them. They're anxious because they don't know where they're going or what they're doing. And they don't have any peace because they can't be in the present moment and do as Gandhi says, for instance, and you talk about a Gandhi-like revolution, as that is being the change that you want to see in the world. So I think the anxiety that a lot of people have and trying to think about what may or may not happen further down the track, is that a very positive way of looking at it? That's the question I have.
You certainly can't ever go wrong with being in the present. Certainly every spiritual teaching that's worth its salt at some point will teach the importance of A, relaxation, and B, you know, relaxation is all about being in the moment. It's not about, you know, being involved with your what's going on in your outside life or anything like that. It involves blocking all of that out. That's one of the beauties of our spiritual circles, is that when we enter that circle, the circle of our spiritual ceremonies, usually there's fire in the middle of it. That's very symbolic of, you know, leaving the outside world and our outside problems, leaving them outside the circle. And when we're in that circle, we're just there to pray, and we're there to be with spirit, and we're there to be in the moment, and we're there to relax, and that's it. And so, yeah, that's a very important important aspect of spirituality, being in the moment.
Yeah.
And I struggle with that too, Barry. You probably do too. I mean, you know, I got a lot of things going on in my life, and my mind's very active, and I try to fill every day up with productive work and those sorts of things. And every once in a while, I catch myself, and I go, oh, wait a minute, man, slow down. Breathe a little bit here, brother. You know, sit down and breathe and just relax and, you know, let it come to you, as opposed to you know, trying to make everything happen yourself. And you know, I have to keep reminding myself. Of that.
So you're living a lovely, quiet life, isolated up in the mountains, and you still have to have these kind of issues with yourself. What does that say about it, Jack?
Still have these kinds of issues as far as you know, thinking and planning and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, but letting it get out of. Letting it get out of line, if you like, letting it take over too much, and where you've got to remind yourself to come back and live in the present. When I think about that, if you're having some issues here and there, what about the people that are living in this incredible civilization, we call it, living in cities with a huge stress and everything like that? So it's not an easy task, is it, to try and sort something out in the present moment?
I feel very strongly about the whole topic of living in the cities. I think the cities are basically their unnatural creations. I don't think human beings were designed to live in cities. I think we were designed by nature to live the way our indigenous relations did. I think we were designed by nature to live in small communities, to live close to nature. And by small communities, I'm talking anywhere from 15 people to, I don't know, maybe 500 or something like that. Living remotely, living outside of the cities, and I think cities are unnatural. I think the energy is all wrong, and I just don't think people were designed by nature to, you know, to live in in a world that's covered with cement, to live on top of each other and like in chicken coops. It just isn't natural. And I, you know, one of my messages is get out of the cities. You know, start thinking about getting back to nature. And even people who do live in the cities, it's probably more important for them, you know, to take some time every day to go to the park, to get out in nature, to remind yourself of what that's like, you know, to take a hike every day. And if that is impossible, if you're just so urbanized that there aren't any trees around or anything, that's where it's important to simply, you know, go to your home and light a candle and sit and meditate and you know, get back, contemplate and get in touch with nature and get in touch with yourself, with yourself that way. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of getting out of the cities. And I think, you know, if we're going to create the new world, which is one of the things I talk a lot about, it's going to be done in that way. It's going to be done in small communities, and it's going to be done in remote places.
One small thought on that one, Jack. We've got nearly 8 billion people on the planet at the moment. We're going to run out of nice places to escape to pretty quickly if everybody goes off to communities of 15 to 500, aren't we? We're not going to be isolated. We're just going to form mini cities, perhaps.
Well, that's kind of a pleasant problem to even think about if everybody got out of the city.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's ever going to happen that way.
I don't think so.
I don't think that many people are going to leave the city. But I certainly, you know, I welcome the effort anyway. There is a lot of room. You know, there's so much room where I live. I mean, it's just wide open spaces here. It's wide open spaces. And there's no people out here. I think there's room enough for everybody. So that would be a positive thought. I have to be honest with you, Barry, also, as far as the state of our world is concerned. I'm not all that positive about it these days. I think humanity's in for a really rough ride in the times ahead. I think that the Illuminati is going to make life really rough on people, and I think the old paradigm system is very, very close to caving in. And so I think those two are aspects of reality that we're going to need to that everybody's going to need to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we might need to take a break at the present stage and have a little think about what we are talking about right now. You're listening to Radio Out There. Jack Ellis, our guest from the mountains in the wilds of California. Back shortly. Now some music from Jim Ottaway, who I opened with in this week's program, his new CD. And this is rather appropriately called Between Truth and Dreams. Yes, it's a great way to maybe discover the way between truth and dreams. The music there from Jim Ottaway, a brand new CD. Jim sent it to me this week, actually. It's really great. And the CD is When Eternity Touches Time. Jim is an Australian composer and performer and produces all his CDs. And you can find out more about his music on Jim Ottaway, OTTAWAY.com. You're listening to Radio Out There. The thing is, at the moment, Jack, and I know you don't get to keep up with the news all the time, but I'm sure you've got your finger on the pulse, we are living in such a divided world. People are it's split down the middle, whether it's politically, whether it's ideas or principles or whatever, and we are living in such a divided situation. If you don't believe what I believe, then you're wrong, and get out of my way sort of thing. This is happening the whole time. But when you think back to the ancient Roman principle of divide and conquer, that seems to be what's going on. So who's doing the division and what is the conquering all about is my question when I start thinking about it all.
Well, that is a loaded question. There's a lot in there in terms of what you just said. Where does the division come from? Yes, you're right. The division is very, very acute right now. People are very, very, you're either in one world or you're in another world. There's very, very little overlap. And I think that division is all a function of the brainwashing that we receive. And I think the mainstream media plays a very, very crucial role in it right now in terms of dividing us. I think the Donald Trump thing is all about dividing us. I'm a very strong believer that Donald Trump wasn't duly elected like many people say he was. I believe that all the presidents of the United States are basically selected and they're placed there. I think the elections are a complete fraud.
Yes, I've heard this before, actually. I've heard people talk about this
principle before. When you think about Trump, I'm sorry, say that again?
I say, yes, I've heard people say that before, or some theories about that presidents aren't really elected, that it is basically just for show, the whole election thing.
But then you have to ask yourself the question with Trump, because Trump's not one of them. Trump's not one of the global elite. He's not an Illuminati. He's a newcomer. He's new money. And he's definitely an outsider as far as that, elite circle is concerned.
Yeah.
So then the question comes up, well, why did they place him there? And he's also, an enemy of theirs. He's aware of the globalist agenda. He's against it. He's against the Federal Reserve. And he's against, so many of the things that are so precious, so precious to the elite. Then you have to ask yourself the question, well, how did he get there? Why did they place him there if he's going to be such a problem for them? And the reason they placed him there was to divide us.
Yeah.
And look at the lightning rod for division that Trump is. I mean, he is, and it's not his fault. I mean, he's just, because so what is people is, again, is the part that the media is playing in this. Because the media has become, completely ultra-liberal, and they assassinate Trump's character at every turn of the road. And the other interesting thing about the media right now, have you noticed that, and you probably have just as much access to the same media as I have, even though you're in Australia, have you noticed that Trump never gets any publicity?
Yep, that's right.
Never. He gives talks to crowds, to thousands and thousands of people who stand up and cheer and who love him, and yeah. You never hear it. You never hear about that. I heard a story just early this morning from a gentleman by the name of Tellinger. Have you ever heard of Tellinger's from South Africa? His name's Michael Tellinger. Wrote a book called Ubuntu.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Michael talk, yeah.
Okay. He makes the point in his book here today that Trump actually took over the Federal Reserve back in March. He took it back from the, basically from the international banking families and from the Rothschilds, and that it was never covered, that this was never covered by the media. And I heard that and I went, wow, if that did happen and if it wasn't covered by the media, that's such an immense story. And it's so interesting to think that something like that could happen and not be covered. But that just shows you the bias right now. The bias right now is very, the elite is really working, targeting the liberals, working through the liberals, and is basically, they're the focus of all the brainwashing right now. And it's all happening, too, in relationship to this racial unrest right now that, again, is dividing people the way that it is. And the media is reporting that in such a devious and erroneous way. You know, if you were to listen to the media, you'd think we were on the verge of a race war. I mean, it's just so awful. And everything's all about, you know, George Floyd this and George Floyd that and the police and blah, blah, blah. In my opinion, they're covering only a really, really small part of the race story, of the story of race relations. And I really don't think there's any race relation difficulty at all, really, in this country right now. What I think of is I think of all the tens of millions of blacks and whites, and this is never reported, it's never discussed, the tens of millions of blacks and whites who, you know, years ago figured out, learned how to accept each other, to get along, to let go of racism. And you think about the black middle class, the massive black middle class that has emigrated to the suburbs and is now attending any school they want to and are even able to go to private schools where, you know, which were once all white. Nobody ever talks about these things. No. Nobody ever talks about, you know, the progress that's been made in the last 70 years, you know, in race relations and for black people in this country. And I know that that's not the whole story, and I know that there is racial justice, and I know that it's out there and it exists, and I know that the police are definitely perpetrators of all that. But that's just one small story. And think about it, Barry, for a minute. How many stories are there? How many dreadfully awful stories are there right now?
Yeah.
Things that are happening in the world.
Yeah.
And just 2 weeks ago, we couldn't talk about anything but COVID-19, and now people are hardly even talking about it anymore. It's all, you know, George Floyd this and George Floyd that and protests and riots and dumbing down the police and all this other stuff. And so much of it is media driven, and the media is in turn driven by the Illuminati, who are out to A, to get Trump, and B, to divide America, and B, and C, ultimately, I believe, to destroy America.
Yeah.
Because a strong America is a grave threat to their New World Order globalist agenda. So they would like a weak and ruined America, basically. And with that, you know, they can move forward with their agenda. So, yes, there's extreme division. There doesn't have to be, but certainly there is. And I'm very frustrated by this right now, Barry, because some of my closest friends right now in the spiritual community are liberals who don't get it and who I literally can't talk about these things with. Because they are off in that Trump-hating, you know, liberal world of theirs.
Extreme
and
left,
everything
they
talk about is, it's all race relations and George Floyd this and George Floyd that. And I'm just not a part of that world anymore. And it breaks my heart to see that their minds are being tinkered with in this way. But that's one of the kind of the sad things about our world today. And these are really super intelligent people.
Yeah,
but as far as this one thing is concerned, they don't get it. They just don't get it.
They don't get it. Yeah,
and it's a real source of frustration for me, and I'm not quite sure what to do with it. Actually, I can do my best to express myself and to express my beliefs, but you know, every once in a while, you bang your head against a wall and you just say, "Oh, I'll just back off from that now."
Yeah. All right. Look, let's take another quick break here. You're listening to Radio Out There. Jack Ellis is with us this week, and we'll be back shortly. As I mentioned at the opening of the program, Jack does a lot of work with Native American traditions, and this, I think, really fits in well with this. It's from a CD called Healers of the Flute, and it's called White Buffalo's Return. Thank you. that was White Buffalo's return from the healers of the flute. Apparently the Native American flute has long been known for its healing powers, and all the tracks on that particular CD are sequenced to mirror the moods of a healing ceremony. So we certainly do need as much healing as we possibly can, putting it back into not only civilization, but of course, into our planet. Radio to make you think. Radio out there. Jack, harking back to what we were talking about before of the extreme colour problem, how it's spread around the world, and it's unbelievable how quickly it's happened. I was sent some stats the other day, which made me sit up and take notice, about the whole in the United States. And these are official stats. They're not somebody made up by a journalist. They are official stats. And I think they came from 2013 or 2014 or something like that. But basically, the of blacks and whites, as far as the murder is concerned, the murder of black people or coloured people by white people is extremely low percentage-wise, and the biggest death rate is black people killing black people. And I couldn't believe this. Way, way over the top. That there are more black people killing each other or coloured people killing each other than whites killing whites killing blacks, or blacks killing whites. So we're not getting the full picture.
They sure, these small percentage of people are sure is getting a lot of media coverage, aren't they?
Well, precisely. So you have to wonder whether or not this whole thing has been orchestrated, because it happened so quickly, didn't it? I mean, not that I'm, for one millisecond am I saying that what happened to George Floyd was anything but horrific, but there seems to be an agenda behind all of this, and it just happened so quickly on a worldwide basis. Are we that desperate for revolution, or what?
Well, I believe these things are orchestrated, and I've an agenda. I said earlier of the importance of knowing the truth about how the world really works. And rather than just assuming that everybody knows what I'm talking about, let me get into answering your question now by giving my impression of how the world really works. Because I'm definitely a conspiracy guy. And I do believe that this is orchestrated. Well, the truth about how the world really works. And let me just sum it up, because I'm getting pretty good at summing this up and not being overly wordy on this. The world is owned and controlled by a very, very tiny group of super, super rich people who operate entirely behind the scenes. They own all of the national banks. They create the money that enslaves us. They own all the multinational corporations. You know, they create the grid that enslaves us, the grid of energy, the grid of technology, the grid that enslaves us. And their agenda, their objective, basically, is a fascist world government with them in control, and it's referred to as the New World Order. And in the New World Order, the people of the world basically would all be reduced to numbers. Basically, we'd be reduced to the numbers on our driver's licenses and the numbers on our social security cards. And I have a feeling there's going to be a new global ID coming up shortly when the vaccine is introduced. That will be another one of the numbers we're going to have and another one of the cards that we're going to have. But I believe that the world is owned and controlled by this small elite, and they do have the power through their ownership of the mainstream media and through their ownership of everything else. They have the power not only to create disasters, you know, like this COVID-19 virus. They have the power to create disasters like this, but they have the power to create all kinds of disasters. And they have the power, basically, to create the old paradigm illusion or the old paradigm reality. And I believe that's what the agenda is, ultimately leading up to a new world order, you know, which is basically a fascist world government. And certainly the COVID-19 plays right into this in terms of, you know, everything that I'm describing. I mean, look at everything that's happened. It fits perfectly into this model here. I believe this virus was created in a lab. It was created by the powers that be. It was purposely released, And I'm not sure how harmful it is, because most of my sources right now, Barry, most of my conspiracy sources, David Icke, John Rappaport, Alex Jones, et cetera, et cetera, most of them are of the belief that the virus is mostly a hoax, that it perhaps is maybe a little bit more powerful than your average flu virus, but that this whole crisis that we're dealing with is a result of a lot of hoax, a lot of fraud, a lot of reporting deaths as COVID-19 that, you know, could have been reported as any number of other things, and those sorts of things. And look what it's done to the world as far as the people of the world. I mean, things have been down for 2 months. You know, nobody was leaving their homes. Everybody's just kind of waiting to see, you know, what's going to happen. And in my opinion, there's a real opportunity here for the New World Order to take a giant step in the direction of implementing, you know, their globalist agenda in whatever is going to come from this COVID-19 crisis. And it's whatever is going to come from it is going to be related to the vaccine, and it's going to be related to whatever the conditions are for taking the vaccine. And in my opinion, they're going to make life very difficult for those of us who refuse to take it. And they could do that in any number of different ways. But basically, this is a way of, you know, again, forcing people into their system, and not only forcing people into their system, but forcing people, you know, to take, you know, highly toxic substances, which we all know about vaccines. Pretty common knowledge now how harmful most vaccines are. I mean, that information's been out there for a long time now. And here comes, you know, the vaccine of all vaccines. You know, many people believe they're even going to stick a microchip in it, you know, for the purpose of, you know, really making things complicated. So so that's my, you know, my version of how the world really works. And this whole COVID-19 thing just fits right into it. Fits right into it. Yeah. And whether they're going to let go of this at this point and just kind of let the mainstream, maybe they'll let mainstream politics play around with this for a while, and maybe things will kind of die away. Because you know how things can just die away when mainstream politics gets into the picture.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, it gets into the houses of the government, and then, yeah, you know, absolutely nothing happens for 2 or 3 years. And so maybe that's going to be the next step, or maybe the next step is going to be the mandatory vaccine, or maybe the next step is going to be a resurgence of the virus. Who knows?
Mm. Well, Jen,
you know what, Barry, to be permanent. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of people, of course, who are listening now and hearing about it, are going to turn around and say, oh, well, you know, where does all that information come from? And are you sort of going to extremes of opinions and things like that? But now you're a spiritual teacher. Are you getting this from the world of spirit? Are you getting spiritual advice on this, spiritual backup, or what?
Am I getting any of this information from the spiritual world?
Or getting it confirmed from spirit, or is spirit involved in some way? As I said, you're a spiritual teacher. So what is the link with the spiritual at the moment, or is this purely your take on things?
Well, the spiritual aspect of this, certainly the spiritual part of the equation for me touches everything. You know, I'm never, you know, one to say, well, you know, this is a spiritual thing and this is a practical thing, and there's no overlap between the two. My spirituality touches virtually every aspect of my life and of what I do, and I get spiritual confirmation for, you know, all the things that I that I say. I do have a spirit guide who guides me and sometimes talks to me, but usually it's more just in a form of, you know, going with the flow, you know, a kind of guidance and, you know, knowing that I'm being guided and, you know, moving with that. But, yeah, so spirit confirms all of this for me. And what spirit tells me to do in relationship to this is to do what we talked about earlier. And that's to focus on creating my own spiritual world, spiritual life, that is separate from this other world. Because this, you know, when we, you know, depart the old paradigm world and create our own world, that for me is a world where I'm practicing my ceremonial spirituality and where my ceremonial spirituality is really primary And that's really the most important part of my life right now. And this is a very important spiritual time right now, too. I know it's different down there, but this is summer solstice right now, and just in 2 days now, which is amazing. There's a major spiritual ceremony happening up where I live right now. There's 40 people up where I live right now who have gone up there to do like a vision quest, over the solstice period. So I'm hearing drums all day long, and today they're taking having a mushroom ceremony, a psychedelic or a psychotropic mushroom ceremony today. So yeah, the spiritual part of it is that's the most important part of my life, and my ceremonial spirituality is the most important part of my life. But that life that I'm talking about is very, very different, from this other world, this world of, this old paradigm world with all this, with all these problems and with all this crisis and all this other stuff. It is, in that sense, it's a very different world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, Jack, you and I could talk about this and toss things around for a long, long time, but unfortunately the clock is against us at the moment. So thanks for taking the time to come down into the semi-civilized world anyway, so we can get a telephone connection so we can have a chat about all of this. And, what you're saying hopefully will make people think, and whether they agree or not, that's up to them. But at least you're posing the questions there, and you're putting out to people to become responsible for themselves rather than being led and told what to do all the time. I think that's your basic message.
That's an absolute key to this, Barry. And I say that over and over and over again. Reassuming complete responsibility for our lives. Not letting somebody else, run our life for us.
Yeah.
That's a fundamentally crucial thing. And it's a hard thing for people who've been dependent their whole life. It's a hard thing to all of a sudden start thinking for yourself.
Yeah.
But, what better thing do we have to do with our time than reassume complete responsibility for our lives? And it takes work. And it takes focus, but I think people are fully capable of doing that. And I certainly would like to see more and more people do it.
Yeah, fair enough, Jack. Lovely to talk to you again. Look forward to your next newsletter, and I'll steer people in your direction as far as the website and that's concerned if they want to find out more about your work and be in touch with you. So thanks once again, and take care.
Barry, thank you very much. I'd love to talk with you anytime, and let's make sure we keep in touch. It's important for people to be connected.
And that was Jack Ellis from the mountains north of Mount Shasta. I'm going to leave you with the wonderful music I played as we came into the program this week, the title track from a new CD called When Eternity Touches Time, from a good friend of mine, Jim Ottaway, an Australian composer. Lovely music, and this is the title track, When Eternity Touches Time. And I'll see you next week. Bye now.